So again, we like to turn to Matthew chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 22 again. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. Again, what we read here follows the feeding of, the miraculous feeding of over 5,000 people. Jesus, in verse 22, constrains the apostles to get into a ship, cross over the Sea of Galilee into the other side. While they were crossing over, he would send the multitudes away, the multitudes that had just been fed, and then he would go to a mountain and pray. We see that when the evening was come in Mark, chapter 6, verse 47, when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. So, again, they're three and a half miles out in the midst of the sea. Verse 25 of our text says, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Jesus went unto them. So Jesus appears. And when he did so, possibilities opened up. When Jesus shows up visibly in the circumstances and lives of God's people, that presents glorious possibilities for the child of God. It is a time of glorious opportunities as well. I want to speak tonight on the possibilities that Christ brings into our life. The foundation here is the appearance of Christ. We see how he appeared. First of all, he's moving toward them. In verse 25, it says, Jesus went unto them. Mark 6, verse 48, Mark says, He cometh unto them. He cometh unto them. John, in John chapter 6, verse 19, says, Jesus was drawing nigh unto the ship. So Jesus was moving in the direction of the apostles. Jesus was drawing near to the apostles. And we rejoice in 2015 that Jesus still moves toward his people. He still moves in the direction of his people. And that fact presents or provides miraculous possibilities for you and I. Secondly, he is moving toward them and he is walking on the water. Matthew, Mark, and John all record this fact that Jesus was walking on the water. The very thing that the apostles feared, the very thing that was threatening their lives, this is what God used to come to them. We see the water that was tossing the apostles and the ship about. Jesus is walking upon that water as if it were dry land. The water was so volatile that it put the ship in danger of being broken into pieces. But that very same water was a solid floor for Jesus Christ. We see that water that brought so much havoc, it brought so much disruption, it brought so much confusion into the lives of the apostles. Jesus walks calmly and unfazed upon those very waters. He's not staggering. He's not trying to keep his balance. He's walking on the water very calmly, completely unfazed. He was neither bothered by the wind or the waves, and so it is today. He walks calmly toward his people, the very thing that they are afraid of, he walks on. And the very thing that they are afraid of and the very thing that is threatening them, he's unfazed. He's not bothered by the winds. He's not bothered by the waves. So Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And that very fact, without him saying a word, just him walking on the sea, he is saying, I am able. I am able. He is saying, I am in control of these waves. I am in control of this wind. He is saying, I am what you need today. And so it is today. When Jesus moves toward us in our circumstances, in our situations, he is saying, I'm in control. I'm what you need. I am able. He walks on the sea. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I believe he does so majestically. He does so in absolute supremacy and dominion. Again, he's in complete control of the waves. He's in complete control of the wind that's stirring up the waters. Those waters and those winds that were working against the apostles and that could bring devastation to them at any time and threaten their lives and certainly threatened the ship, they're all under subjection with Jesus Christ. Jesus went unto them walking unto the sea. That is testimony that he is always sufficient. That is testimony that he is all-sufficient. Jesus in the storm, Jesus on the storm, tossed water, that fact provides glorious possibilities for every child of God. Thirdly, he is moving toward them with a message. Jesus moves toward his people with a purpose. He moves toward his people with a message. Remember, the apostles saw that figure. They immediately supposed that it was a ghost. And as a result of that supposition, they became very fearful. And they cried out. But Jesus immediately spoke to them. Verse 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them. Mark puts it in Mark 6 and verse 50. And immediately, he talked with them. They brought this fear into their lives by their supposition. And Jesus is walking toward them and immediately he speaks to them. He speaks to them to calm the fears that they had brought or certainly increased in their lives. Now, Matthew, Mark, and John all record what Jesus said unto them. In Matthew 14 and verse 27, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. So he comes majestically. In their time of distress and need. And he comes with a message. Suited to their circumstances. The Lord always comes to us with a message suited to you and I. We see that it is a message that proceeded from His thoughtfulness. It is a message that proceeded from His caring, His sympathy, His kindness, His compassion. It was not a random message. It was a very personal message to those in that boat. It was not an impractical message. It was a message that was suited to their needs and to their circumstances. He says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. That is a message of confidence. He also says, be not afraid. Now, between those two statements, be of good cheer, be not afraid, we have the reason. It is I. It is I. So, you have two parts of the message. Be of good cheer, be not afraid. And then you have the basis of the message. It is I. It is I. The reason they could be of good cheer, the reason that they didn't need to be afraid, wasn't because the storm stopped. The storm hadn't stopped yet. The reason was, it is I. And He also came with a message of invitation to Peter, come. A gracious and merciful message. So amid the storm came a message. Came a message from the master of the storm. And so it is today. Jesus comes. He speaks a message. And as soon as He speaks that message, that provides you and I with wonderful possibilities. So let's consider some of the possibilities that the presence of Christ brought to them. And do remember that the reason these possibilities exist is because it's Him. Because He is there. That is the reason that these possibilities exist. There was now, with Jesus being there, His presence brought the possibility of being in a better spiritual condition. The first thing that Jesus addresses coming to them is really their spiritual condition. Jesus stresses in verse 27, both from the positive, be of good cheer, and the negative, be not afraid. He's not telling them to do something. He's telling them to be something. He's telling them to be something. He's speaking of a spiritual condition. He says, be of good cheer. So what He's telling them is something that was good. That's always the case. Something that was advantageous to them. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. This is advantageous to you in your situation. This would be beneficial to them. This would be very favorable to them. It was very well suited for their circumstances. Be of good cheer. Jesus spoke those very same words to the paralytic that was brought to Him in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. He spoke those very same words again in Matthew 16:33 to His church. And when He said, be of good cheer, this is something that goes beyond. Jesus is not just saying, be happy. Be joyful. He's saying something much more than that. When speaking to the woman with the issue of blood, He said, be of good comfort. And that word comfort is the very same Greek word translated courage or cheer. Be of good cheer, be of good comfort. So the whole message here, the first part, be of good cheer, conveys the idea of courage. Be in a position of courage. Be in a position of tranquility, assurance, and strength of heart. It is this condition, be of good courage, be of good cheer, that would enable them to be not afraid. Be of good cheer. The order is important. Be of good cheer. That is, be in a spiritual condition of tranquility and assurance and strength. And once you're in that condition, now you can be not afraid. You see, that condition takes care of the second part of the message. Be not afraid. He's calling upon them to be something that would deliver them from their current spiritual state of fear. Be of good cheer. And between those two statements again, he says, it is I. It is I. The reason you can be of good cheer, it is I. The reason you can not be afraid is, it is I. That is the foundation of what he is telling them to be. The foundation is him. The foundation is not them. The foundation is not you and I. The foundation is him. And we need to realize that when it comes to being in a right spiritual condition, the foundation is him. It's not us. It's him. So from those storm-tossed waters came that familiar voice, it is I. And the possibility that exists for you and I based upon who Jesus is that we do not have to remain in an enfeebled spiritual condition. That's what they were in at this moment. But because it's him, you don't have to remain there. We can be in a condition of assurance. We can be in a condition of strength and invigoration. The it is I made possible to them be of good cheer. The reason they could be of good cheer is it is I. It is I. The reason they could be of good cheer is not one another, but it is I. The reason that they could cease being afraid is, once again, it is I. It is not circumstances that dictate our spiritual condition. What dictates our spiritual condition is what you and I do with those words. It is I. It is I. That's what dictates our spiritual condition. Jesus comes to us and he says, it is I. What are we going to do with those words? Well, we should be of good cheer and be not afraid. That was a complete reversal of the condition they were in. So their whole condition could be reversed because of him. And so it is today. If you are in an unhealthy spiritual condition, you need to see Jesus walking on your circumstances, coming towards you with that message. Be of good cheer. It is I. It is I. It is I. He is saying everything's okay. It is I. I'm in control. The storm's still raging. But again, the circumstances is not what dictates our spiritual condition. What are we going to do with it is I? We have to do something with it. Secondly, he's come to them, he's spoken, and now there was the possibility of having a response that would bring them closer to the Lord. Jesus comes to us, he speaks directly to us, and in so doing, it is now possible for you and I to respond in a way that is going to bring us closer to him. Again, Jesus, verse 27, Jesus spoke unto them. He was speaking to them in a general way. But Peter heard it in a different way than the rest. Or at least he responded in a different way. And Peter, as an individual, not collectively, it doesn't say, and they answered. And Peter answered him. and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. So you see, there was a personal response. Jesus is walking toward us, moving in our direction. He speaks to us. There must be a personal response. And in his response, as we saw this morning, Peter is seeking Christ. He's not seeking to walk on the water. He's willing to step out into the water, unto the water. But what motivated that was, if it be thee, bid me come to thee. His motivation, he's seeking Jesus Christ. He's seeking a greater experience of Jesus Christ. That needs to always be so in our lives. We need to always be seeking Christ, always seeking a greater experience of Christ. None of us have ever fully experienced the person of Jesus Christ. So we can always have a greater experience. However great of an experience we have had and are having, it can be even greater. We must always realize that there's always another level of spirituality. As Paul says, I have not attained. None of us have. There's all, as long as we're in these bodies, there's always another level. We can always get closer to the Lord. And when Jesus moves toward us and speaks to us, we must respond. And our response must be a seeking of Christ. So Peter responds, and then Jesus responded and said, come. Which is the equivalent of saying, it is I. It is I. Because Peter asked him, if it's you, bid me come. So when he said, come, he was saying, it is I. It is I. And once again, that's all you and I need to know. It's him. It's him. And if he's out there, I need to get there. And I'm going to be willing to do whatever it takes. If it means stepping out of the boat, doing the absolute impossible, doing what we cannot do, in and of our own strength, that's what we'll do. Because the desire is Christ. Thirdly, there was now the possibility of drawing near to Christ in a miraculous way. Peter, in response to Christ, said again, Lord, if it be thou, bid me. Didn't say bid us. Peter is speaking to the Lord. The Lord came and spoke to all of them collectively. Peter responded, and now the Lord is speaking to him. So we see the value of responding properly to Jesus Christ, because now he speaks directly to Peter. Bid me come unto thee, and again, the unto thee is key here on the water. Jesus, speaking directly to Peter, said, come. So in this exchange between Christ and Peter, Peter received a directive. Come. Come. He didn't tell him how to come. He just said, come. Come. Jesus is saying, Peter, move closer. Peter, advance toward me. Peter, draw to me. And I believe the Lord says that to every one of us every single day. I believe every day, if we would stop and listen, we could hear Jesus say, come. 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 In order to come, you have to leave where you are and go to him. So what a privilege and an opportunity is ours when Jesus approaches us, moves in our direction. Notice verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship to go to Jesus. That's his purpose of getting out of the ship. His purpose is not to walk on water. His purpose is to go to Jesus. Jesus was there, and he is here. And he says, come. That provides you and I with the possibility and opportunity beyond description. If Jesus says, come, what are we to do? We are to come. We are to come. Just, there's nothing else to discuss. There's nothing to debate. Jesus says, come. Well, what do you mean, Lord? He means come. Well, what else can that mean? Come. You mean now? Come. He didn't say come 20 minutes from now. He said come. Come right now. And so it is today. Come provides us with an opportunity, with a possibility. With the voice of Jesus, it is I come. There is an invitation there to be closer to the Lord. There is an invitation there to experience Him in a greater way. He did not tell the other apostles to come because they did not respond the way Peter responded. He said to Peter, come. In other words, Peter, you have the possibility right now of getting closer to me. You have the possibility right now of having a greater experience of me. And what made it all possible? It is I. It's because of Him. It's because of Jesus that these possibilities exist. Because of who Jesus is, there was then and there is now the possibility of being closer to Him and having a greater experience of Him. So we, again, personal examination is necessary in all these areas. Also, Jesus being there, Jesus giving a directive. And Jesus gives directives in impossible situations. When he said to Peter, come. Again, the waves are rising. The wind is howling. How am I going to come? Should we all paddle more furiously? How am I going to come? Peter stepped out of the boat. That's faith. That's faith. When Jesus comes toward us and gives us a directive, we have to do something with that directive. You can ignore it. You can do something else. Or you can do what he says. Come. What was it that gave Peter the faith? What was Peter placing his faith in when he stepped out of that boat? It is I. It is I. It wasn't, I can do this. I believe I can walk on that water. That's not the object of faith here. The object of faith, it is I, come. It all comes down to Jesus Christ. So Peter, believing that it was Christ out there, took that step of faith. Now he took more steps because it says he walked on water. Now to walk implies you've got to take at least two steps. And I'm sure he took more than that. And I believe that perhaps Jesus is still moving toward Peter and Peter is moving toward Christ. What a wonderful picture. What a wonderful picture. Based upon his belief that it was Christ, he didn't have to weigh the odds. He didn't have to look down at that water and think to himself, what are the odds of me placing my foot out there and being able to walk on water? What are the odds? It's impossible. But there was no reason. There was no reason to weigh the odds, because it is I. Come. Based upon his faith in Christ, he didn't have to weigh the odds. All he had to do was trust. So it is with us. All we have to do is trust. And we say all we have to do as if it's simple. We know by experience it's not that simple. But that's the answer. Trust. You'll be amazed at what steps you can take simply trusting. Simply trusting the Lord. Based upon his belief that it was Christ, he did not enter into a discussion with the others. He didn't turn around and say, Thomas, Philip, John, do you believe I can do this? What do you think? All he needed to hear is, it is I, come. It was faith. It was faith, once again, in Christ. It says that he stepped out of the boat. I don't believe that was an hour after Christ said, come. I don't believe it was 10 seconds after Christ said, come. I believe immediately he responded. And when Jesus says, come, or he gives a directive, we need to obey without question, without hesitation. And that is our possibility. When Jesus comes to us, gives a directive, now it is possible for me to step out in faith, and in so doing, move in his direction. Right now, because of who Jesus is, it is possible for you and I, children of God, to step out in faith. To take that first step. That brings us to our next point. There was now the possibility of an amazing walk. You cannot walk until you've taken a step. You've got to take a step. It's just like the children of Israel at the Red Sea. I don't believe that the Lord just rolled back the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea, and said, okay, there it is, dry land, go. No, I believe they put their foot down and sea parted. Took another step, the sea parted. Each step was a step of faith. And so it is here. In verse 29, Jesus said, come. And then we read, Peter was come down out of the ship. That's faith. As a result of that faith, he walked on the water. That is the result of the faith. He walked on the water. He is now doing what is absolutely impossible. He is now doing what he, in and of himself, cannot do. He was now doing what he saw Christ doing. It was a miraculous walk. Peter walked on the water. It had nothing to do with his aqua abilities or skills. Nothing. It had nothing to do with his balance. I don't care how much balance you have. I don't care how much skill you have, how much ability you have. You can't walk on water. This was faith. And he stepped out and he walked on water. Everything, again, it's not Peter's ability. Everything here has to do with the Lord. It is I. And it says to you and I, no matter who we are, no matter what our limitations are, yielding to the Spirit of God and the power of God working in us, We can walk on water. We can do the impossible. Individually, collectively, doesn't matter. Read it over and over and over. He walked on the water. He walked on the water. That's extraordinary. That is an absolutely amazing walk. But it begins with a desire for Christ and a step of faith. You know, Peter is often criticized, but in this example, and even in this, most people focus in mostly on him sinking. But Peter is an example here of you and I, to you and I. He walked on the water. What was the purpose of his walk? A walk must have a purpose. To go to Jesus. To go to Jesus. That was the purpose. That ought to be the purpose of every step we take. To go to Jesus. The reason he first put that foot out of the boat was to go to Jesus. That must always be our purpose. And it is possible. When Jesus comes into our midst and Jesus calls us to come unto him, we can now exercise faith and we can have a purposeful walk. As he's walking, he's not looking back at the apostles. As he's walking, he's looking unto Jesus. And as long as he is concentrating and focusing upon Christ, he was able to walk on the water. And that is still a possibility for you and I. As long as we focus and concentrate upon Jesus Christ, we can walk on water. Though there was an interruption in his walk, due to him, to his own self, verse 30. Because of who Jesus is, the interruption was undone. There are going to be interruptions in our Christian walk. There's no getting around that. We are going to have some sinking times. There's no getting around that because we have this sinful nature. We have doubt. But because it is I that is there, because Jesus is there, the interruption can be undone. You don't have to stay there. Again, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And then the next scene we see, and when they, Peter and Christ, were come. Oh, what a walk. Walking together. Not just walking together. But walking together on the storm. Walking together in the supernatural. That is possible. That is possible for every child of God. The truth is, we shouldn't be satisfied with anything less than walking with him in a supernatural way. There was also now the possibility, with Jesus in the midst, Jesus present, there was the possibility of experiencing a calm. Verse 32, we see, and the wind ceased. The wind ceased. The wind that caused those waves to rise ceased. The wind that caused those waters to beat violently into their boat ceased. The wind that caused that boat to be tossed about and that was blowing against them with such opposing force ceased. The wind that caused them such fatigue ceased. They experienced a calm that only He could produce. And I want to say that even had Jesus not caused the wind to cease, you might be going through a storm, and Jesus may not cause the wind of your storm to cease. He may not cause the storm to calm down, but He can do something even better than that. He can calm your heart in the storm. Just the presence of Jesus brings about the possibility of a calm that only He can bring. I mean, you look at these apostles, though they remained in a boat, they're in an entirely different condition now than they were in back in verse 26. Because now they're worshiping Him. I mean, a calm has come upon them. And oh, how wonderful when Jesus walks into our circumstances and calms our hearts or calms the storm. He can do it either way. He can calm the storm. He can calm the heart. I never promise anyone that the Lord will calm your storm. I don't know if He will or not. He may increase your storm. But I do know this. He is able to calm your heart no matter what the storm is. He's able to do that. And it's possible. That possibility exists for you and I. Lastly, there was the possibility of finishing their journey with joy. Verse 34, and when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. Remember when Jesus was up in the mountain? He saw them, according to John, toiling in rowing. I don't believe that was the case now. This was a completely different journey. Everything has changed. What brought about the change? Was it simply the storm ceasing? No. It is I was there. And that made all the difference. Mark 6, verse 53 says, and when they passed over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And oh, what a joyous journey they had. The rest of that journey, the second half of that journey, remember they were in the midst of the sea. The second half was completely different. And it all began with "It is I." It is I. He's the one that gets all the credit. For the rest of the journey, I don't believe they toiled in rowing, but they worshiped Him. Their faith and their assurance was strengthened. Remember, He came with that message, be of good courage, be not afraid. And now we see them saying of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Are they of good cheer now? Yes, they are. Are they afraid? No, they're not. They have the assurance that it is I. It's Him. So, oh, what a wonderful rest of the journey they experienced. We all have a journey. We have a journey that we must make. It's a journey through this life. Some journeys are going to be longer than others. But we all have a journey. And that journey can be one of misery. Or that journey can be one of joy. And bliss. It all depends on what we do with "It is I." Come. It is I. Come. I'm not speaking literally, but we need to see that figure. We need to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus approaching us. And we need to hear that wonderful word. What a wonderful word it is. Come. Come. That's what He said to us when he saved our souls. Come. And it was impossible for us to come then. But you step out. He gives you the enabling to take that step. So it's all possible because of Him. Because of Him. And I believe the apostles knew that. They weren't patting Peter on the back, as we said this morning. They were worshiping the Lord. So we need to ask ourselves, how is our journey going? How is our journey going? I'm not asking if there's storms. Just how's it going? Well, if there's storms, it can't be going well. One might say, no, that's not true. Because Jesus can calm our heart in the storm. Are we taking the journey with Jesus? To what degree are we living up to our spiritual potential? You see, Jesus Christ brings wonderful possibilities into our lives. Peter took that step, one step, a step of faith. And the next thing, he was experiencing that which was absolutely amazing. I mean, you and I cannot even begin to imagine what Peter felt walking on that water. This was something absolutely amazing. And God has called us to experience the amazing. He has called us to experience Himself. And the Christian life should be just that. Daily experiencing the amazing. And it all begins with a desire. It all begins with the presence of Christ and a desire for Him. And that plea, Lord, if that's you, all you have to do is say, come, and I'll come. Lord, if that's you, just tell me to come. That ought to always be our attitude. Now, there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of voices in the world. You have the voice of Satan. You have the voice of our flesh. You have the voice of reason. I mean, there can be 100 voices speaking to us at one time. Now, don't go from here and say, Brother Dan hears voices. But there are voices all around. But all we have to know is that one voice. The sheep know His voice. And what does it say? And they follow Him. The sheep know that voice. And that's all they need is to know it's Him. And He says, come. And that's what we're to do. He gives us this wonderful invitation. And what a wonderful, what a merciful and gracious invitation it is that Jesus would say to you and I, come. I mean, it's just absolutely astounding that He doesn't say to me every single day, go away, go away, go away. I'm tired of it. But He's never said that to me. Never. He says, come. And all the possibility that that brings into our lives. Isn't it wonderful to just be saved? To know that it is I. And to know that voice. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.